I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and we're back for another session. So what's been going on? Well, we've seen the holiest day in the Christian world. Recently, we saw Easter Sunday, a beautiful holiday for Christians around the world. I know I celebrated it. I know millions and millions of other people did worldwide. It's a day of great joy for those of us who are believers. We believe that this is the day that Jesus rose from the dead so that he could save us all from sin and make sure that if we do the right thing and follow in his footsteps, we too can have eternal life. That's a fantastic gift to get. Unfortunately, there was some sadness we saw. We saw some horrific hatred. We saw some violence. We saw some terrible things in Sri Lanka. And I don't think I could get through this episode of Chasing Justice without talking about this at least a little bit. Absolutely horrific to see that people are at their most vulnerable when they're in their house of worship. They're trying to pray. They're trying to connect with their God. They're trying to do something more than just normal life. They're trying to be more spiritual. They're trying to connect with their God. How else can you say that? What more are we supposed to do as human beings than to connect with our God? And to be attacked while at prayer. Women, children, men killed by terrorists is just, if we don't wake up and see what this is and see that the war that's going on is right in front of our face. And we're thinking because, okay, we haven't had an attack in America like that, a concerted attack by a terrorist group like we had on 9/11. Because we haven't had that, we must be okay. Now we see that the caliphate over in Syria has been knocked down and laid low, which is great. President Trump did a very good job doing that. Our military did an awesome job going out there and whacking them around. But we know they're not gone. Because this is a worldwide movement. Now, I don't know how else to say this. You know, in our politically correct world, we can't say, that this is a Muslim attack on the world. Because I know it's not all Muslims. To say the word all or every when it comes to any group is absolutely ridiculous and it doesn't make any sense. We have to say, though, there is obviously a large contingent of people who are of that background, that religious background, that think their mission in life is to kill anyone who is not a Muslim. And I know for people that I know that are Muslim and don't think like that, this is painful for them too to see because this is not what their religion is about. But I don't think we can deny that part of the people who believe in, you know, Islam, they think this is the right thing to do. And this most recent attack in Sri Lanka on churches, Catholic churches, which particularly bothers me because I'm a Catholic guy, but on hotels where tourists are, to make their point, what point are they making? What kind of a point are they making by blowing up women and children and innocent men in a church and people are in a hotel lobby? What kind of a message does that send other than, the whole idea of terrorism is to intimidate people so that people will back down and give in to them. What are we going to give into here? What are we going to give into Sharia law? Is that what we're supposed to do? This response is not going to be calculated to what they think. But this attack is an example that this isn't over. You know, we haven't had one like that in America. And I got to tell you, it's scary to say, but I don't put it past it happening here in America. This is one of my fears. I don't know about you, but when I go to church with my family, I look around now. I'm looking around to see, are the doors blocked? Are the doors closed? Is anybody paying attention? You know, for those who listen to Chasing Justice, you know, part of what I do in life is I do threat assessments for schools, businesses, religious facilities. I go out and I try and help them to secure their location, to make sure that people can pray without being attacked. All right? And one of the ways you can do that, I'll tell you right now, is you let everybody in. You have to have people with eyeballs, people watching for who's coming into your church, your synagogue, your mosque, whatever. Someone has to be watching and looking at the people. You have to have some kind of training in what is suspicious. Once everyone gets in there to start the service, close the doors. Right? Close the doors and then have people outside that have communication devices, radios in other words, and have them monitoring the outside of the facility wherever somebody could get in to hurt the people inside. And if somebody sees somebody coming in that's suspicious, they can call for help. The doors are already locked. We have to buy time. Time equals life. Now, these poor people in the church and these people in the hotel and the people in the synagogue in Pennsylvania not too long ago, what time did they have? The killer shows up, walks in, and starts doing their murder. And there's no time to react. You know, we've seen this over and over and over again. So let's take a look. I'm trying to draw a line today. I'm trying to connect dots, because that's one thing we always say, right? We don't connect dots. Well, I think it's time we need to start connecting some dots to some bigger pictures, right? Maybe not necessarily Islamic terror, but I think that's part of the picture. What I'm seeing is that in the rest of the world, this is continuing, and the pitch may have quieted down, but you know what? It's in the silences we have to pay attention. Are we watching very closely? Are they planning right now to attack us again in a bigger way? Right? I'm hoping that our intelligence agencies, that our military, that our federal law enforcement, and all of these agencies that are out there that are supposed to be protecting us, are they paying attention to this? All right? Do they have the ear to the ground? Or are they busy worrying about what Trump did when he built a building in Oklahoma in 2004? All right? Is that what they're worried about? Is that what our intelligence people are doing right now, chasing Trump around instead of paying attention to what's going on where we could potentially be targets? Now, let me clarify that. Because first off the bat, they're my law enforcement brothers and sisters. And I'm not talking about you. You know, isn't it terrible I have to even do that? I have to come in, I have to clarify that I don't mean the individual special agents and the military DOJ people and all of those people. They know who they are. I know they're doing the right thing. It's the leadership that I'm concerned about. Now, hopefully we have some better leadership than what we had previously. But do you see how that damages us? Can you imagine what they were plotting in those years, the last 2 years that these people were busy running around trying to attack a president of the United States to remove him instead of worrying about terror? I'm scared to think about it, and I'm not scared of a lot of things. So here's the lines I want to draw. I look at this and I say this chaos here has slowed down. To an extent, it has slowed down. We haven't had a major attack. We've had lone wolves. We had people who sympathize with those terrorists, and they have done stuff to us. And believe me, it doesn't make a difference if it's a gigantic attack like 9/11 or a small attack where somebody drives a car down a street and kills people. The people who get killed and injured, it's just as bad for them as if it was a major attack. And that is attack on all of us. So we still do see those lone wolf things here and there. But is there a major attack in the planning? Is it coming? I don't know. In the days before 9/11, what were we doing? Have we learned our lesson? Are we paying attention to everything? Are we doing the right thing? I like to think that the individual men and women in those agencies are professionals and they are doing that, even though there's these distractions at the top. Okay, so hope the new leadership is doing the right thing. So I'm venting here a little bit because I see this. And like I said, I go to church and I look around, right? I've met with lots of religious facilities in the last couple of months to try and help them tighten up their security. And every weekend, I do the same thing. I walk in and I look around and I say, I hope I'm not distracted from my prayer because I'm worried about somebody coming in to hurt my family and the rest of the people in this church. We all need to do that. Take a look at your church. Where do you go to church? What do they do? I've said this 100 times. You don't have to hire Joe Pangaro and True Security Design. You can call me, you can email me, and I will help you tighten up the security at your church. I will give you some plans. I will give you some the writings that I've done on this because I want you to be safe, especially when you're praying to your God. Okay, so I keep getting off track here. What I want to tell you about, what I'm trying to draw a line, the dots I want to connect here is this. Are we, at this point in time, as a world, as a world, because things, you know, the world is flat now. The world is so close. Everyone is so connected with the internet and computers and all this digital world. We are so connected that things happen so quickly. How close are we to a potential third world war? Now, initially, I had that thought and I said, all right, well, let's think about the possibility of a third world war. It seems so far out of the realm of possibility because we know how devastating it would be. We know World War I, the first mechanized, really mechanized war, we saw the carnage of World War I, the use of tanks, the use of the artillery, the gas that they used, and the devastation that caused all across Europe. So much so that was the war to end all wars. That was so horrible, we would never do it again. And then, a very short period of time later, we had World War II break out. And we saw World War II devastate the world. How many millions and millions of people were killed in the course of that war? And we said, never again. And at the end of that war is when we had the development of nuclear power, and we said, ah, here we go. Now we have something so powerful that there could never be a third world war, because everybody knows how devastating it would be to everyone. The victors, the losers, everybody would be wiped out in a nuclear war. So the chances of it are really slim. For years and years, we lived with, mutually assured destruction, the MAD policy. We were locked into this battle with the Soviet Union that they knew they could launch on us, we could launch on them, but we knew the response from either side would be so devastating that we really couldn't do it. So we talked a lot, we spent a lot of money, and we couldn't really engage in it. We knew it would be the end of the world. So that held strong for a long time. You know, the development of the Star Wars equipment that Reagan came up with that would block nuclear weapons, that really changed the tide of things, because one side realized then, you know, uh-oh, we might be able to launch, but they can stop our missiles and then they can get us. And there we saw, and that's a simplistic point of view, but we know that the cost of that to the Soviet Union would be so great that's why they fell apart. They just couldn't keep up with us economically to come up with that. They fell apart. And we thought, okay, when the wall came down and the Soviet Union was gone, now there's going to be peace out there. Remember the peace dividend? We didn't get the peace dividend, ladies and gentlemen. Instead, we got other kinds of problems. So the idea that there could be a third world war, if you look at it clearly, you have to say to yourself, okay, there's an old saying, and I love old sayings because there's a lot of wisdom in old sayings. They're based on experience usually. The old saying is, if something has happened once, it is much more likely that it will happen again. So when we look at a world war, we say, well, it's not like we've had conflicts, but no world conflict. No, we've had a world conflict. In fact, we've had another world conflict. So the idea that there could be a third world war is really got to be put in the box of not impossible, not necessarily imminent, but absolutely possible. So what would lead us to that third world war? Now, we know that we're seeing this rise of Islamic terrorism in the last 20 years. We've seen the bombings around the world. We've seen America attacked. We've seen us go to war. For how many untold years we're over in Afghanistan trying to stop the terrorism over there. Various presidents come and go. We want to get in. We want to get out. We want to go win. It's very difficult to completely win because not that we don't have the capacity, not that we don't have the brave men and women to win. We absolutely do. America, how else can I say this? America, you and me and all of us here in the country, we are too decent of people to actually win the conflict. Because to win the conflict, you have to stop your enemy completely. And to stop your enemy completely means complete and total devastation of your enemy. And we're not in that place to do that. We're just not. Probably to our own detriment. In World War II, we were in that place. We gave everything to destroy Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan. We did everything in our power to win that war, to the point of using a nuclear weapon to stop that war. I don't know that we're in that place today. So this is one of my concerns as I look at this. Okay, so we know that it's in the possible bracket. What would lead us to that point? The terrorism is a constant nag in the back of us. Because, you know, every time you go somewhere, I don't know about you, I go to New York City a lot, and I think about, what if something were to happen today? What if my family was in the city and there would be an attack? Would we be near the attack? Would we be away from the attack? Could we get out of the city? It's an island, right? So I'm trying to connect these dots. And what I can't get away from is this. The things I think that could sow the seeds of another world war are clear in the continuing browbeating, rewriting of history, creating this narrative that America is bad, has been bad since the beginning, is racist, is horrible to people, and has to be torn up and recreated. I think in that thought pattern is the seeds for the next world war. Okay, so as I'm saying this, I know people are saying out there going, well, Lieutenant Joe, it sounds like you're talking about liberals are going to cause it. Well, I think there's something to that reality. Let's take a look at it, right? Shall we have a little show and tell here on this possibility? It's not the day-to-day liberals. And I've talked about people in my own family are liberal. And I love them dearly, and I think they mean the best for the world. I'm not talking about those kind of liberal people. We all know people like that, that have that liberal point of view. They want the best for everyone. They want everything to be fair. They want everything to be equal, you know? And what's wrong with those kind of thoughts? Wouldn't that be an idyllic world if it was real? I think the difference is in how we get to something as close to that as possible, if it's even possible for human beings to be like that. That doesn't mean we have to be bad. Doesn't mean we have to be racist. Doesn't mean you have to hate people, attack people. It just means we have to understand that not everyone is exactly the same as everyone else. Believe it or not, there are people that are better at things than me. Now, I can be angry about that. I can stomp my feet and demand that people make it fair. It's not going to make it fair. There are people that are better at things than I am. That's just the way it is. But conversely, there are things that I am better at than other people are. And no matter how much they try, they're not going to do what I do. You, my friends out there in the Chasing Justice audience, we all have God-given talents, skills, and abilities that are better than some people and not as good as others. You know, this is how the world really works. Everyone is not equal, and I don't mean equal in rights. We all have equal rights. That's of course, everyone has equal rights. What I mean, we don't have equal skills and abilities to take us to all the places we want to go. No matter what you do and say, you have to understand not all of us are going to ever be billionaires or millionaires or well off or in the 1%. Lots of us are going to be working class people for our entire lives, no matter what we do. But there are lots of us also, our children, ourselves, that are going to be able to climb up out of that because of our skills and abilities, if we apply them correctly, to become better than we are, to have a better life, to make that. That's the beauty of America. So when we come back in a minute, I'm going to start exploring this and tearing this apart a little bit with you today as far as where are these lines connecting? How is the liberal point of view, in my understanding, going to possibly contribute to the destabilization of everything and the next possible World War III? So we'll be back in a couple minutes here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends, with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to round two here, Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and yes, I am thrilled to be here. I have people, interesting, they say to me, Joe, you say that a lot, you're thrilled. Well, I am. I'm thrilled to have a voice. You know, back in the day, I'd watch the news, and I would scream and holler at the TV, like many of you do, and I would be frustrated by things and annoyed on whatever's going in the world. But now I have a way to vent that. I have this program. I have you, the people in Chasing Justice Land. You know, so this really is thrilling for me every day. I can't thank Malcolm Out Loud and the America Out Loud family for having me on here, letting me voice my opinion. Let me speak to you. So speaking of that, this is your program also. You know, I love to get the emails. I love the Twitter when people are tweeting back and forth to me. It's great. So you can find me on Twitter at Pangaro Global. At Pangaro Global is where you can find us on Twitter. So go there and follow us. You can also find me by the email at jpangaro@americaoutloud.com. Let me know what you're thinking, because I like to look and see what you think about things, and then I talk about it. It gives me things to research, and I help get your voice out there as well. So what I'm trying to put together in segment one there, we talked a lot about, you know, the world and what's going on in the world. It seems like a lot of chaos is going on out there in the world right now. And I guess anybody can look at any time when they're alive and look back and say, well, there was chaos here, there was chaos there. There is. But is the chaos period we're entering now, is it or will it be so destabilizing that it could lead to a next great conflict among multiple countries? I think it can, and here's why. So first of all, the United States of America has been the stabilizing force in the world since World War II. I think that's very, very clear. The United States has provided that good guy in the world for all intents and purposes. We are a bastion of freedom. We believe in individual liberty, at least we did for most of our existence. But I digress, as a man with a grievance will do. We are pretty much the bastion of freedom in the world. Look, how many people want to come here? Everybody wants to come to America. You know, you don't see everybody, piling into to Portugal, though it's a beautiful place. You don't see people going there. You see everybody coming to America. You know, they used to say back in the day in the original immigration waves that America was a land where the streets were paved with gold. Now, some people really believe that America was so powerful and had so much money and it was so opulent, and the pictures that went around the world of New York City and the other major cities. You could almost believe that if you were living in, you know, poverty conditions, other parts of the world, and you saw this glistening, beautiful city of New York, the lights and the big buildings, you would think it must be paved with gold. I can't imagine how it wouldn't be. But really what that meant, paved with gold, is that it was paved with opportunity. That is the fruit of freedom, is opportunity. Freedom, individual freedom, allows us to become who we are personally. Individual freedom allows us to explore what we care about, what we love, what our skills are all about, what our personal talents can take us to, what areas of the world, how high we can climb. It's up to us. That's what freedom gives you. Freedom also allows you to make choices about your life. How do you want to pray to your God? If you want to pray to your God, you don't even want to believe in a God. You have freedom to do that. You know, how do you want to help your children, the next generation? Because that's really, really in the essence, that really was what life is all about. It's rolling on into the next generation and this continuation of humanity. But here in America, we have paved roads with gold, and gold is opportunity. We can be anything and do anything. So that freedom has allowed America to grow into the most powerful and vibrant nation the world has ever known, the freest land in the world, the land of the most generous people in the world, the land of people who has saved the world multiple times. Okay? And I see this beauty of America, and I see that the only way we could really go down that road quicker to a third world war is if America is somehow destabilized. So, what in America is causing destabilization? Well, let's see. Is it energy problems? Not really. We have more energy now. We're an exporting nation of energy for the first time in many, many, many years. We are a powerhouse now with energy. So it's not lack of energy. Is it a lack of intellect? Nope. We still have the greatest minds are here in America. Take away the indoctrination of our colleges and the way they indoctrinate our young people into socialism. Other than that, our universities are still the greatest universities in the world. So it's not intellect. We have plenty of that. Currently, is there opportunity? There's great opportunity in America. You can be someone, like I've said over and over again, I came from very humble beginnings. You know, my dad passed away when I was very young, but he was an entrepreneur. You know, he was a union electrician, and he saw a better way was to have his own business. So he started his own business. He started to become very successful. Unfortunately, he had an underlying health condition, and the young man died early on, you know, left me and my mom and my brother. And I've told you this story before, which kind of left us in a kind of a tough spot. You know, when you think about it, we didn't have a lot of other stuff. The business was just starting to take off. We were starting to get, you know, creature comforts. You know, we had nice new cars. We went on a great vacation for the first time in a long time. But after that, it was kind of back to, you know, spaghetti 5 nights a week for a while there. And I had opportunity. I didn't have education. I certainly didn't have any privilege to speak of. There was nobody standing around in the wings waiting to give me tons of cash and you know, put me into a business. But I had opportunity, and I had drive, and I had desire to do more and be more than I was. Now, that's not for everybody. Not everybody wants to do more and be more. Not everybody wants to try harder. I get that. I did. I wanted to try harder, so I did. And I've accomplished a great deal. I've taken myself to new places financially. I've taken my family to places that my family had not been before. I mean, everybody goes to college now. Everybody does really well. It's really a wonderful thing. But that's all because of opportunity and desire and freedom, right? So who out there is trying to disrupt America? And I hate to sound, you know, I don't even know what it sounds like, but to say that, you know, it's the left-wing liberals that are actually trying to destabilize America. But they really are, aren't they? I mean, they never used to stand up and say what they really believe. They always cloaked it. And I guess if you go back to the time, you know, of Ronald Reagan, when he was a Democrat, you know, you had the Democratic Party, who was more, you know, considered a party of the people, the working man and woman. And the Republicans were more for the wealthy. And I guess that's how it broke down. But the reality of America is, if you don't have wealthy people, you don't have big businesses doing real well, then there ain't a lot of jobs, right? So that was it worked out over the time. But as Reagan said back then, he didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left him. They became more and more socialized. They became more and more enamored with the idea that the Communist Party, you know, could provide everything for everyone, and probably the most important thing, freedom, individual freedom, was replaced with equal outcome. These are the two diametrically opposed forces. Right? You have freedom to make yourself whatever you want or not. You have the opportunity to go from nothing to everything if you're willing to do it. But at the same time, the other side over here, they're like, well, no, we want equal outcome. Everyone should be able to do whatever they want. And like we said earlier, not everyone has the same talents. You know, I like to fancy myself, if I wasn't doing what I'm doing now, I could be a brain surgeon. I would love to do surgery. I think I could do brain surgery. I don't know. Maybe I could, maybe I couldn't. But I know a lot of people that are in the medical field that are absolutely brilliant. And I don't know that I could be one of them. Do I get mad? Do I stomp my feet about that? Do I demand somebody let me be a brain surgeon? That'd be kind of silly, wouldn't it, when you look at it kind of a light like that? Okay. I look at skilled professions also. You know, I hire a guy to come to my house to put something in plumbing. I watch him do it, and I go, well, that's not that hard. I think I could do it. And then I put it in. I got water squirting in every direction. I got pipes busted. Because you know what? I just don't have the skill for that. Everyone has a different skill. So that's what America offers, that freedom. But our friends on the left, who do seem so enamored, growingly enamored with communism and socialism and this idea, this utopian picture, that if they could just be in charge, if they could just make things fair, then everything would be so much better. So is that a possibility? Well, how do you make things fair? Well, to make things fair, you have to demand things of people. You have to control people. You have to change people from their past. You have to take things away from some people and give them to others. Isn't that what we see happening here? Isn't that what we see going on with our friends on the left, as I like to say? The Ocasio-Cortez crowd, Don't they want to take from other people? So how can that be right to take from people? Because somebody always has more than you have. There's always somebody with more than you that you say, well, if I'm making it on what I'm earning and they have more than me, then they really don't need that extra. They should give that away because then they'll have the same as me. But there's always somebody below you too. There's always somebody with less than you that looks at you and think, you got more than you need. So that whole idea of taking from people to make things fair is really very tyrannical if you think about it, isn't it? Okay, it's not fair that the kid that can throw the baseball straight and fast, he gets to be the pitcher because he can actually pitch. But I demand my son be the pitcher. Or I demand my daughter be the pitcher. And you know what? They can't throw a straight ball and they throw it very slow. It falls in front of the plate. It doesn't even get there. But I'm going to demand it. And you know what? There's going to be a group that gets together and goes, it's not fair that that one kid get to be the pitcher. Therefore, everyone gets to be pitcher. And what happens there? We dilute the game. Then the game is not fun. The game is not competitive. The game is blah. Isn't that exactly what happens when these people come in and demand everybody have equal outcome? We should rise and fall on our talents and our skills. So they look to change America. I think when Barack Obama was elected president, when he was out there and he was running around and trying to get elected, campaigning, he played on this thought. You know, when times are tough, you know, everybody sees the very wealthy and the great lives that these people have. You know, I look at it and I say, man, I wish I had a brand new Corvette every year, and I wish I had a beach house, and I wish I could fly around the world and take my family everywhere. But I can't, and that's frustrating. So what do? I work harder, right? Some people look at that and they just get more frustrated, and they think it's not fair that those people get to do it. And let me clue you in. There's no such thing as fairness. There's not, right? Not everybody's handsome like Lieutenant Joe. Sorry, it's just not fair. All right, of course, I have a face for radio, so I can say that. But there is no such thing as fairness. We get caught up in this game of fairness. It's got to be fair. When you make things fair, when you demand fairness and you change the rules to make it all fair, that's tyrannical. Do we see our friends on the left doing this? We do. And how are they going about it? They are going back to our history, and they're saying that our history from the beginning was corrupt. Because Barack Obama, one of his promises was, we need to fundamentally transform America. Now, I guess when I heard that, I heard those words, and you know what I say all the time, words mean things. When I heard him say that, I thought what he was talking about was, okay, maybe we need to, you know, add a little more taxes. Maybe we need to go after the rich a little more. Maybe we need to have some more regulation. You know, classic left-wing liberal kind of things. But in reality, we now see, after 8 years of Barack Obama, we now see what he was actually talking about was transforming the heart of America, changing the freedom constituent of America to the equal outcome of America. That's exactly what he meant by changing the dynamic, by fundamentally changing America. And how are you going to do that? Well, the only way to fundamentally change America is to disrupt and have the people demand this change. So we see that now they start to go back in time and they start to see things that were appropriate for the people of an age 200 years ago, and they judge it by today's standards. Now, let's say this. Slavery has always been bad. There was never any good slavery. Slavery was always abhorrent. To this very day, there is slavery in the world. It is abhorrent. It is against God. It is against man. Slavery is horrible, and it should all be abolished. In America, early on, there was slavery. We abolished it. See, that's the difference. Everyone has sins in their past. America has sins in her past. It was not perfect, but it was the most perfect that there had ever been. The biggest opportunity for humanity to rise was the birth of America. So you can look back in our forefathers and go, well, they were bad. They had slaves. So therefore, everything they said and did is illegitimate. If you want to destroy them, remove them, and undercut the pillars of what makes America stand, because you want to change it fundamentally, you have to go back and change the founding if you're going to fundamentally change it. So we see that underway right now. We see this happening every day. You know, the other day they did what? They said that Kate Smith, who sang God Bless America, suddenly Kate Smith sang two songs back in the 1930s that had very objectionable lyrics. Okay, they were racist lyrics, even though there's an explanation that comes out that says it was actually, it was a parody of racism it was anti-racism actually she was singing about. The words themselves, if you just listen to them and look at them, they're ugly words. They're ugly, demeaning words. I get it. But you know, back in 1930s, they didn't see it that way. And I don't know if Kate Smith was a racist. Her family says she was not. That was of her time. But what are we doing now? We want to undermine America in every way we can. So what do? You undermine our icons. They're going after our forefathers, saying that, well, because they had slavery, it doesn't matter that they came up with the greatest governmental plan that the world had ever seen up to that point until today, that this Constitution, this amazing shining document that they created, that is the best man has come up with at this point. Well, that's all illegitimate because they did bad things back then. You know, with Easter just passing, I'm thinking of, you know, a lot of the words of Jesus, and I read through the Bible, and I'm looking at the lessons and the brilliance that came out of the Bible. And didn't he say when they brought the woman that had committed adultery to him, and they said, hey, she committed adultery, she broke the law, she's horrible, she's bad. And he said what? He who has not sinned, throw the first stone. So I think there's a lot of lessons in there. Of all of us, every one of us, have we not sinned at some point? And I don't mean just in a religious context. Haven't all of us done something back in our past that we're not happy about, we're ashamed of, or maybe wouldn't really fit the model of what goes on today? Haven't we said or done something that's really not that great? We all have. Does that totally discount your entire life? All the good you have done? Maybe, what if you learned from that lesson? Maybe if you repented from that lesson, you said, man, I was really a bad person back then. I can't believe I said and did those things. And you fundamentally change who you are. Isn't that what our prison system is about? People go to jail, they murder people, they go to jail, and then 20 years later, they stand in front of a parole board and say, you know, I found God, I realized what I did was really bad, I was horrible, and now I'm a changed person. And what do? We let them out of prison. We let them have redemption. Isn't that what we all want too, redemption? So, see, I'm starting to whittle this all together here. We're starting to get it. So we're going to continue on this in a minute as we see our friends on the left and how, while they, the individual people and our family and friends that are on the left are good, decent people and they only want good things, the bigger movement is what's dangerous to us. We'll be back to explore that a little further in a minute here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutLoud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to our third segment here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. And yes, I do love saying that. The America Out Loud Radio Network, what a voice for freedom. When I think in the context of this particular episode and the things I'm talking about, and I think the beauty of free speech and the power that has given mankind in the course of our history, how powerful it is to have a station like this. And I say it all the time. Get on a station, get on the website, www.americaoutloud.com. Go listen to the other shows that are out there. It's really a fantastic station. It lets you have a voice. You can hear all kinds of points of view. It's really great. You know, we talked about the very beginning here, the attack on the religious facilities. All right, this is what I do at True Security Design, www.truesecuritydesign.com. I go out and try and help people be more safe. Whether that means your school system where your kids go to school, the business where you work, or the malls you shop in. This is what True Security Design is all about. So do me a favor. Come visit us. Take a look at the website. If I can be of any service to you whatsoever, give me a call. Give me an email. Reach out to me. I want you to be safe. this is what I'm all about. This has become my mission in life, to keep people safe. So for everyone who has emailed me, and for all those people I've called about my services, I really appreciate that. But hey, www.truthsecuritydesign.com. We're out there for you. All right. So this is the crescendo. This is the coming together of everything I've been thinking about. Our friends on the left, and we've already identified who we're talking about. We're not talking about the average person out there, because I have people and friends and family in my life that are liberal people, and I think they're good, decent people. I think they mean well. I think they just have a different way of getting to what I do. But we are sometimes diametrically opposed in things we believe in, and I think that's legitimate. What I'm concerned about, the danger, is not those people, those good, decent people who just want, you know, the poor people in our country to have a place to live and to have food. I want that too. You know, the myths about conservatives and people on the right, that we don't care about them. That's ridiculous. We care. We cry for them people. We do what we can to help them. We donate to them. We try and educate. You know, a report came out the other day. I was reading in the newspaper, and it said when they look back at who gives more, you know, because all the thing with the Democrat candidates, how much they donate to charity. You know, these people, millionaires that are running for president, and they give 1% of their salary, 2% of their salary. They did a study, and it's the second time they've done this study. They found out that Republicans actually give a lot more to charity than people on the left. And you say, well, why would that be? Because everything has to have facts. You can't just say something. And they said what they find is that Republican people have a tendency to go to more religious services, believe more in a God than people on the left do. And therefore, you know, the religion is one of the things that pushes people to be more generous, to help other people. So it's interesting that the people on the left who claim all this, you know, they want to help everybody, really don't do it when it comes down to their money. I watched Bernie on a town hall the other night, and he made, $1.5 million for his book, something like that. And they said, well, have you donated all of that to charity? And he was humming and hawing because, hey, he got himself $1.5 million. You don't think he's giving it away, do you? He'll give away your money, but he's not giving away his money. And I think that's kind of the way it goes. I've known people over the course of my life that have a ton of money that want to argue with me about how much you should give. And I said to them, well, you know, you're very wealthy. Why don't you write a check for everything you have and try and live on $50,000 a year? And they stumble and they hum and they hum. Well, if I did it, it wouldn't really make a difference if I'm the only one that did it. So they don't do it. So it's unfortunate. But I think there's something to it. I also know a lot of people who are liberal who give a ton of money, give all their time, do everything to help people. So let's just look at that, okay? Let's just be fair about it. But it's interesting. Again, I get sidetracked with these things. So here we go. Our liberal friends destabilizing our country. So what are they going to do? They have to go back and crush our institutions. They have to crush our traditions, because you have to shake us to our core so that we can rebuild in the vision that they want. So we've talked about this, and we've cited these polls where young people under 30, a majority of them, 58%, I think, or 62%, have said that socialism is not only acceptable, it's preferable to capitalism. Now, these people are going to take over the world in the next 20 or 30 years. It's going to become their world. Who do you think they're going to be voting for? What do you think is going to happen to your grandchildren? Okay, because we see the writing on the wall. So the people on the left are pushing for this new vision, this Barack Obama vision, and he's not the only one, but the bigger world view of socialism. They want to attack our institutions, make our heroes anti-heroes, bad. We have to get rid of them so that they can redo the view of the country, which is what they're in the middle of doing now. We see what was considered wrong, now considered right. We see crimes that are committed right in front of us, and half of our country ignore them. You know, of course, I'm referring to the situation with President Trump. This was a made-up story that was meant to attack him, and because the left owns the press, except for a couple of newspapers and a couple of publications, and America Out Loud, and maybe a TV station, a news station, they own everything else, they are trying to destroy that. So they came out with these lies to get rid of him. And they were lies. There was no fact to it. In the face of the absolute facts, we see what Hillary Clinton has done, what we know she did, what is documented she did, and nothing happens to her. All right? That is one of the kind of things, justice-wise, that creates an unstable country. When people start to see that there is a two-tier system, that it's really not fair, if you did something like what Hillary Clinton did, you would be going to prison, no questions asked. There'd be no FBI director stepping up to say you didn't intend to do nothing wrong. You'd be in handcuffs, dragged away from your family, and put in prison, no question about it. But Hillary Clinton doesn't go to jail. She doesn't even get indicted. She gets to run for president and have the entire bulwark of the political system step up to try and push her across that finish line. Even the presidency of Barack Obama helped her. And we'll see how far up the chain that went. But you don't think he knew about everything that was going on? And then we had the DOJ and the FBI. The fix was in for her. That was the fix was in. That they were taking that away from you and me. And I don't mean because we all love Trump. He's the greatest guy in the world. Because he was our choice. We wanted a change in our country. We wanted what we thought would be the better path than continuing down that liberal left-wing path. And he was the alternative. They wanted to take that away from us. And I've said this. This is the most dangerous thing that has happened to our country since we have been since we've been born as a country. What happened to us right there, and if we don't see justice for this, then I think we're going to see a dispiriting of the American people. We're already cynical. We're all very, very, very cynical about, well, you know, not the law doesn't apply to everyone. We all kind of know that. You know, rich people get off with things all the time because they have the highest paid lawyers. High paid lawyers go into a courtroom and the judge is impressed by the lawyer and they listen to their arguments and they make good arguments and they're highly skilled and that person gets off. Where if somebody with lesser means goes in, the judge might not like that lawyer. That lawyer may not be as skilled, doesn't make a good argument. Nope, you're guilty. So we know we have those kind of things. We have to work on that. We have to work on making it a fairer justice system. But that's one of the things that shakes us to our core. So here in America, we have our left-wing friends trying to destabilize our country. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I know you know that. All right? But that doesn't mean there aren't real things going on. I mean, we see this going on every day. Why are they still going after President Trump when they know there was no collusion? The report said there's no collusion. And the only reason that the guy said or did anything that they're looking at as he tried to affect the investigation, he was obstructing, is because he was offended by the fact that they did this to him. And he screamed out, he tweeted out, I didn't do it, it's all a scam. Wouldn't you say that it was a scam if they were trying to come after you and you didn't do it? And we don't have any clear heads. Strike that. We only have a very few clear heads looking at that and going, of course, there was no collusion. The system was racked up in Hillary's favor. We were all played. Our system was damaged. America was damaged by this. And there may or may not be justice. We see Bob Barr, and everybody's, I think he's going to do the right thing. He's a man of integrity. I think he's going to do the right thing. I hope he does. I hope he does. But I don't know that he will. Because Bob Barr is of the elite group. He's part of the deep state guys. He might be a good man, but maybe they want this just to all go away. Is it far-fetched to think that maybe the Democrats and the Republican elite people will get together and say, listen, okay, there was no collusion, there was nothing like that. We're going to let this drop. You let it drop. Don't do this investigation where we go after Hillary, we go after Obama, we go after all these people in the deep state and cause this big uproar. We'll just all let this ride. Okay, we'll just move on from it, and that'll be the end of that. You don't think that's a possibility? I think that's an absolute possibility. I would put that at 51% as opposed to the 49% that he'll go after people. I hope I'm wrong. Now, before I jump off of this, let me just say this. I think Bob Barr has an opportunity to be a shining star patriot in American history. And the reason I say that is he's the one man right now in charge of justice in America. If Bob Barr makes the right decision to do a real investigation, to hold people really accountable for what happened, and to really clean and clear the slate of everything that has happened to us, that would be the greatest thing that he could do. That would be a patriotic, truly American thing in the line of the forefathers. that if he was to come out and say, the responsibility I have now is beyond me as a person. It is now on the office of Attorney General, the one person in the country of 350 million of us who can actually make a difference, who can actually turn the tide on this, who can actually make things better by restoring justice to America so that we all see that there is justice, so that we all see the system does apply to everyone. That's why we follow the rules, because it applies to all of us and it's for our betterment if we see real justice. I hope and I pray that Mr. Barr, as he has his morning coffee and he's looking in that mirror getting ready to go to work, he says to himself, what an important position I have. I must step up to my responsibility. I must do the right thing here. You know, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. It doesn't matter who in the political class is upset with me. I need to be a founding father type patriot. You know, the people that pledged their lives, their honor, their fortunes to freedom and liberty. He can be one of those people if he chooses to do the right thing. I hope and pray that he does. So that's enough on Bob Barr. So here we see in America, this is where I see America being destabilized. If America is destabilized, then there's no one to protect the rest of the world. So the last component that I'm seeing coming in here is that they're flooding us with illegal immigrants. All right? Low-skill, illegal immigrants who are coming here not to become American, but to come here and take from our system. Now, I can't say this enough times for all those haters out there. Myself and my family and my friends, we don't care what race or nationality or color somebody is. We just care whether or not you're a decent person. Okay? So I understand that the majority of these people coming from South America and Central America are coming here because they want a better life. I can bang my head on the wall. How many times I have to say this? I get that. If I was a father living there, I would want to come here with my family too. But that doesn't mean that we can do it. You know, how many more people could you take in your house? Wouldn't it be nice, all the homeless people that are there, could you take a person or two into your home, clothe them, feed them, give them health care? You probably could. I could too. I could take one or two people. Can you take two full families? You know, two sets of moms and dads and three or four kids each. Could you bring them into your house? Do you have the space? Do you have the food? Do you have the resources to take care of them? You don't. The analogy is the same. Our country doesn't have those kind of resources. And you can't just go to rich people and take it away from them to do this. It's not right. There are rules and reasons. And I feel bad. And it's as a Christian, it's one of the hardest things for me to say is that we can't save the entire world when we have problems here at our own home. We have to take care of this. I suggest to people in Central America and South America, start a revolution and take over their countries like our forefathers did. Fight and die, pledge their lives to this, and build a country based on liberty and justice and freedom and make those countries great. If we can help them do that, I think we should. But here's where the destabilization comes in. We bring in all these people who are not here to be American. They're here to get things for themselves, which, you know, I can't blame them. But that destabilizes us because then they're going to get to vote and they're going to vote for more things. That's what people do. They vote for things. Okay? I think if we let all those immigrants in, many, many, many of them would do very well here. And they would be business people and it would be great. Some of them would really be great. But not enough to make the difference. So I think it's unfortunate. But that's going to destabilize us. That's going to change our voting process. That's going to change our culture. That's going to change what we do. And that's going to weaken America in the long run. Right? We already don't have the stomach to protect ourselves anymore. When we get everybody in here, I don't know that that's going to help. So America is being destabilized. It's being destabilized every day. It's being rewritten. And that is a danger to the world. Because without America, who's going to stand up to these other people? Now let's look across the pond. Let's look at Europe. Do we see destabilization going on in Western Europe? The signs are very, very clear. Western Europe is going through the same kind of thing, only they've been a little more radical about it. They've had socialist governments in place for a long time. They opened the floodgates and let everybody in, and it's changing the nature of their very societies. Right? Again, it's not because of the religion, the race, the color of the people. That has nothing to do with it. It's the actions that the people are engaged in, the things that they want, the things that they're doing. You know, in London, they have how many acid attacks? Hundreds of them. In Paris, how many churches have been burned in the last couple years? 800 and something churches. We don't hear about it. But it's happening. Why is that happening? So Europe is being destabilized also. And when you have Europe completely changed so that the Western world is no longer the dominant culture in the world, you know, the Western world is really the truth, justice, liberty crowd. When they are displaced, when we are displaced, and you have different philosophies taking over, socialism, which is very powerful to the masses because, hey, everyone's going to get the fair outcome. We're all going to get stuff. I'm going to take it from the rich. We've seen this story over and over and over in our history. We don't learn it. When you destabilize the United States and now you destabilize Western Europe, you are throwing gasoline on a old tinder. So just like we saw Notre Dame burn, which was kind of symbolic for what's happening to Europe, you know, the church is being destroyed, it's being burned down, the Western ways of life are being burned down, and what's left in the ashes could end up being all of us. So it's in that destabilization of the United States and Western Europe that I see other powers in the world who are biding their time, waiting to see America step down a notch and be vulnerable is when you will see attack. And if you start to put all those things together, I'm not a conspiracy guy. I'm just saying I see the handwriting on the wall and I see potential for a third world war coming, nuclear weapons or not. If one of our adversaries now that's in the wings was to see America destabilize Western Europe, what would happen right now if somebody rolled up and took one of our far-off possessions? Would we really go to war for it now? Or will we kind of let it happen? If it happens to our allies, are we really going to go to war over it? Or are we going to kind of deal with it? And that's how it happens. The slow drip, the loss of justice, the loss of freedom and liberty around the world. So I don't want to be depressing people. I'm simply saying, we have justice. Let's demand we keep it. Let's stick together. Remember what I always say, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Right? So thank you for listening. I love being here with you, and we'll see you next week here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Lots to think about this week.